Hi there, thank you for joining us on this special episode where we join Rune and the Moon for her witch's tea time. We had a lot of fun on this live stream and hope you enjoyed as much as we did. Due to the length of the stream, this will be broke up into two parts. Without further ado, let's begin part one of Witch's Tea Time with that one show with the Newmans.
Okay, hey everybody, what's up witches? We are here for the special Witch's Tea Time tonight. We're back. We haven't been here for about a week or two, maybe more, just because of everything going on. We actually have some special guests here tonight with us from that one show with the Newmans, Ethan and Bethany Newman. Everyone say hi and give them a big welcome. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
I'm just trying to make sure that you all can hear us and them. So if you guys wouldn't mind just giving a quick chat just to say hey and that you guys can hear us. It should be live on Facebook and on YouTube. So give us a quick hey there if you're on and saying hi. Robert, it looks like Robert is watching from YouTube live. He says, hey, do you remember Robert Simmons?
Oh, yeah, yes. What's happening,
hey, Robert?
Good to hear your text be read.
Good to hear your text.
What else do you... I mean, I don't see him and I don't hear him, so...
Yeah. Yeah, he says he can hear both perfectly fine, so
awesome.
We're good to go. Yeah, that's awesome. So yeah, cool. All right, yeah, I see your chat coming up here, Robert. I wish that you guys could see the chat. Well, I guess if you have it pulled up on a separate device, like, you'll be able to see the chat pulling up on the actual video because I have it restreamed from multiple places. And okay. I see Brittany, you jumped on, so hey, thanks for joining. Thank you. So tonight we're talking about local lore and different stories of hauntings in the area. The Newmans, they have a podcast that they do, and they talk about different paranormal topics. Bethany is actually one of the members of 765 Paranormal. It's founded and run by your brother, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, so if you guys get a chance to check them out as well, definitely take a look at their page, give them a like and take a look there too as well. So we're going to be talking about that. Lots of different, topics for like paranormal legends, hauntings and lore. So they have been diligently finding out some information to share with us tonight. So we're all excited over here on this end to be checking that out and hearing some spooky stories. And of course, as always, if you guys have any questions or you want to jump in and share your experiences as well with the group, definitely by all means, you are welcome to do so. Definitely welcome that as well. So I am gonna let Ethan and Bethany introduce themselves to you guys, and they'll kind of give you a little bit of a background about what they do and what they have dug up for us to talk about tonight. So what's up, guys? Thanks for being my first ever guest on the Witch's Tea Time. How exciting. It's going down in the books of history.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're very, very happy to be here. I'm Ethan Newman.
I'm Bethany Newman.
This is kind of how we do at the beginning of our podcast. And right now we would say this is that one show with the Newmans, but this is Rune and the Moon. And tea time.
Right.
I think.
Yes,
right, which is
tea time.
Yeah, which
right.
is tea time. So, get my legs up here.
But no, our podcast is really, you know, like Stephanie said about paranormal. I am actually part of 765 Paranormal. I've been doing things with the group for, a couple years, a few years, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Just recently started doing things with the group.
Yes, I've got a polo shirt, but I haven't been formally asked to join, but but I've got a polo shirt with my name on it and the 765 Paranormal logo on it. So I feel like I'm slightly intertwined.
Yes.
So, I mean, sure.
You're semi-involved.
Yeah, yes. Semi-involved. That's right. I guess, you know, a little bit about me in reference to the paranormal. Really, I'm a skeptic. You know, that's mm-hmm. and I think that's probably one of the key traits that I guess they seem to like about me is I'm a skeptic. You know, I'll go into this. I walked into the Fowler Jail in Indiana for my first investigation. Like, this ain't real. This is fake.
It's always good to have a skeptic, though, just so you can get a different perspective.
Right.
Now, I'm the one who, if I hear anything out of the ordinary, that's ghost. That's what that is. I'm very quick to jump to everything being not yeah. able to be explained.
Yeah, but really, it's usually the house that's settling, which that happens all the time. The heat from the outside will cause everything to, you know, kind of shift a little bit. And then whenever it starts cooling down at night, the door will pop a little bit and she'll be like, what was that? Did you hear that?
I'm like, jumping yeah, one.
It's just everything cooling down and, you know,
which
contracting.
The research that I did on this local legend, I mean, some of the stuff that they've had happen, I've also heard happen. So,
well,
saying.
Allow me to skepticize every bit of it.
So, we That's did. Awesome. Stephanie, are you ready for us to, I guess, go ahead and go on?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're all very interested to see what you have found.
All right. Well,
can I do the intro to it?
Yes.
On this episode or live stream, we're going to be talking about, wait for it, dun, 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 the Bell Witch.
So, and if anybody's around the Clarksville area, probably has heard of the Bell Witch at some point in time. It started off in 1804 with John Bell and his family moved from North Carolina to Robertson County, Tennessee. They settled on a 320-acre farm, and John became the deacon of the River Baptist Church that they were attending at the time.
Well, I mean, which that's kind of a big move, really. You know, you're an out-of-towner, and then you become the deacon at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, so obviously that it seemed like they were making a fairly decent name for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So they, their family grew, like, very quickly, and they were very popular among the community.
Good way to become prosperous.
Now, in the summer of 1817, activity at the Bell House started. They lived in a small little log cabin, so it wasn't anything fancy, but the children said that they heard, sounded like rats gnawing on their bedpost at night. They also heard pounding on the doors and the walls of, like, outside of the home. So it was never anything on the inside. It was the outside of the home that they heard, like, loud pounding on the walls. Bed sheets were ripped off the children as they were sleeping at night.
That's not creepy.
And they heard whispers and the sound of an elderly woman singing hymns throughout the home.
Oh, no.
On many different occasions.
Oh, no.
Man, I'm more of a traditional, you know, traditional Christian rock kind of guy whenever it comes to, you know, church music and whatnot. So,
but it was very, like, almost inaudible at times with the whispers. But, I mean, I guess slowly began to become louder and they could understand what was being whispered or sang or that kind of thing.
Are they sure what in the wind? The wind humming out of him or something?
I don't know.
I don't know if the wind sounds like actual church hymns coming up.
You got me there. I can't.
The wind has no lyrics.
Yeah. Or rhythm.
Yeah. Right.
Amazing grace.
Yeah, wait, I don't think that's how the wind sounds. But
quiet down, wind.
The problems did escalate with Betsy, which was John's daughter. She began being slapped so hard that it would leave welts on her face. She was being pulled by her hair by this unseen entity, like dragged around, pulled by her hair, slapped in the face. But John did not want this getting out to anybody because it just, it wasn't something he wanted to tell everyone.
I'd be calling the FBI.
Right.
Call Ghostbusters or Zach Bagan, I guess.
Well, you gotta think back then.
Get out here now!
You gotta think back then, though. I mean, is that really something you would want to tell the townspeople that your daughter had these welts all over her face?
Well,
but you didn't know where they came from.
Now, this, and you may know more about this, Stephanie. Isn't that around the time whenever they had all those witch hunts and stuff?
What year did you say it was?
1817.
No, the witch hunts were like 1690s.
Okay.
The Salem.
A little off.
Only by like two centuries.
Yeah, just two. Just two. Okay. I didn't know if maybe that's why they would have been afraid to, you know, say something because maybe they'd think there was some sort of witchcraft stuff.
I mean, but even then, if you look at, I mean, I know that it's just a movie, but like the what is it called, The American Haunting, or in Connecticut, or something like that. That's the movie based off of the Bell family. So if you look at like that time period and like women. I mean, even some days now, they're like, if you do certain things right away, you're a witch. And to people who were heavily, you know, heavily faith-based in their religion, then it was like, if you were even thought of being a witch, you were persecuted, you were banned, you were evil, you know, you're signing the devil's book, so to speak, and you know, you were basically crazy. And to be a crazy woman, they would like lock you up. So
especially with him being a deacon at the church.
Yeah, especially that. That would have been like blasphemous, basically. Mm-hmm. That would have been so bad.
Oh yeah.
Grounds for removal.
Oh yeah,
for sure. Because if your daughter, I mean, look at even in the Salem witch trials when the what's his name, who was a priest, and his niece was Abigail, who caused a lot of the chaos with the Salem witch trials. And she lived in his house. It was his niece. And then his daughters fell ill. And even with that, it was just like they accused him of being part of it, you know? And it's like if your name gets mentioned and you're dragged through the mud, like John Proctor saying, like, give me my name, at least my name. If anything, at least give me my name, because that basically it F's you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know,
your
name gets nailed to the church door and you're done. Socially exiled.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, because it was never just, okay, this person messed up, we're going to punish them. It was, this person messed up, the family should have known better, everybody's in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so obviously John wanted to keep these things quiet. He didn't want anybody to know about it, but eventually it got to the point where he had to tell someone.
Mm-hmm.
I actually saw Robert Simmons said he would have been deemed drunk or crank.
Yeah, he would have been totally thought of as a drunk or crazy.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, you think even now, like, talking about stuff like this is not acceptable. And
right.
It's been years since this stuff has gone on. So, I mean, I can only imagine how really unacceptable it was then.
Right. Well, yeah, and you know, I know a lot of folks, there's a lot of folks that don't believe in stuff like that. And there's some that do that just, you know, like the Christian religion, and it's all on how you interpret the Bible. But a lot of folks look at it, and the way that they interpret it is that you shouldn't be trying to reach out to the paranormal or anything like that. So, I mean, it clearly states in the Bible that there is something.
But you're not supposed to reach out to it.
You're not supposed to be reaching out to it.
And
so
these people would have probably been accused of reaching out to something, whether it was on purpose or accident. Who knows what they would have been accused of.
Could be a reason why he didn't want to say anything about it either. You know, being a deacon at the church, they may have thought that, oh, well, you're going against the Bible, and and reaching out towards the spirits, though, you know, the spirits were forcing themselves onto them, you know, but.
Yeah.
But John did eventually have to just talk to somebody, so he wasn't going crazy. So his neighbor, James Johnson, were told about the incident. So him and his wife came to stay at the house just to see if anything happened while they were there. Well, it definitely did. They had the same experiences that this family's been having for over a year. His neighbor, James, says more people need to know about these occurrences. We've got to get something done about this. So what they did, they told a bunch of people, and they actually formed an investigation committee so they could try to figure out what was actually going on at the house, or if it had something to do with family just being crazy. They wanted to know what was going on.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty big deal if you actually get a committee formed for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, especially back then, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tons of people, of course, came out to witness this paranormal activity. Because, I mean, I think people were probably just as curious as they are now about, okay, two families have said that this is going on. Something's got to be happening.
So was it like just a bunch of locals that were coming out?
People came over from everywhere, like all over the place because word spread, I think, as far as it could have back then. And those people all came to
10 miles.
Figure out like what was going on.
How quick can that horse
get the people on the outskirts.
Two towns over.
Get right. The people on the outskirts of Robertson County out there and a few from Montgomery County.
Training pigeons and shit. Like
they came from everywhere. All two counties.
Now, a lot of people that would come in would ask the entity what or who it was. It always gave different names, different responses. It was never like one straight answer.
Hold up. So you mean to tell me that the very first paranormal investigation group was formed in the 1800s? Because that's exactly what you got going on right here.
Well, one of them could have been.
I mean,
this wasn't a committee.
Like
it was
it
a paranormal.
Right? Sounds like what it is to me.
This was like 1800
Ghost
Zach
Adventures.
Fagan.
Yeah, this was 1817 Ghost Adventures.
Just
yeah.
Throw on a top hat and some burlap. No, that's way too far back. Never mind.
It was stated that the witch's name was Kate, which was Kate Bates.
Same thing, whatever.
Who was
Kathy
actually
Bates?
A
right.
Who was actually a neighbor of the Bell family, and that's what they all just, somebody had said it, it sounded good, so everybody believed that to be true.
Was there any kind of, like, I know that a lot of times it would be because somebody had property or valuable something that they wanted to take over. Do you think that, wasn't there some rumor that John Bell was having an affair with this woman too or something? Like, there was something weird between the two families.
There has been a lot of different, like,
theories.
But the biggest thing that I found was actually that nobody knows why Kate was believed to be the witch.
Huh.
No one had ever accused her of anything. Who knows? She might have just not went to that church and people thought that she was a hellion because of it. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that could be.
A lot of the stuff that I read, nobody has any idea why they picked her, but somebody had said, oh, it's Kate Bates for Bats, and they were like, oh, that sounds right, so that's just
one that didn't come to church last Sunday.
So that's just kind of who they went with, was her, unfortunately for her.
Wow. I guess.
She wasn't doing any of this stuff. But over the next 3 years, and everybody refers to her as Kate, just because that's who, you know, they said was the witch,
mm-hmm.
began tormenting Betsy and John the most horrendously out of everybody who lived in the home. Betsy was getting her hair pulled. She was being beaten, like bruised from head to toe, just like bloodied. She was being scratched and stuck with pins. Now, John was getting swelling in his throat where he couldn't breathe, and twitching and jerking of all of his facial muscles.
Eek. Good gracious.
Yeah, Eek. His was very intense.
Ugh. Ethan, how you feel about that happening to you?
Well, I'm sure there's a logical explanation.
Of course there is.
It got windy.
Right? Yeah, it got windy. And it made your face just spasm out of control for no reason. Because it was that windy.
I had a seizure or something. I don't...
Oh my gosh.
Could you explain the hair pulling, the scratching, and the stuff with pins? Like, I mean, genuinely, could you explain those things?
Was he awake?
No, this was Betsy that was being stuck with pins, scratched, beaten.
Was she awake? Sorry about the gender.
I'm assuming so, yes. These were all happening just, like, at night, during the day. It didn't matter. These things were just happening.
Did she see anything?
That was never actually reported if anything was physically seen. It was just all voices or noises. It was never like a full-bodied apparition kind of thing.
Okay, even though the movie makes it that way, because they have to put a little emphasis on it. But the original story, I guess. It's odd that she would never see any of it too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot creepier if you have a face and a body to the to the name.
Mm-hmm. Robert said, could it have been a medical condition for John? Do you know, was there anything that might have come up as far as, like, any kind of medical conditions where they might have felt that way? Because fibromyalgia feels like, needles sticking into you.
And, that would have been my very first go-to thing.
A neurological thing.
Sort of medical issue, but... The fact that, there's multiple people within the house, including neighbors that stayed, that witnessed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
but the neighbors that stayed, to my knowledge, were never so physically affected. It was just like the sheets being pulled off and stuff, and it wasn't as violent to anybody else but these two. But that being said, Kate was believed to visit the family to kill John and to keep Betsy from marrying Joshua Gardner, which was another neighbor who Betsy fell in love with.
Okay, so does Kate have a thing for guys, and is she very jealous or something? Or
I don't know.
She probably did have a thing for guys because,
Do we know the age of, Betsy wasn't very old, I think, at the time, right? So, and do we know the age of Kate too?
No, nobody really knew anything about her other than just she was the witch lady that lived next door kind of thing.
Yeah, and of course, this is based on what sources we were able to go through.
Yeah, yeah. I know some of that stuff's like really hard to find, but I was just curious. Hey, Robin. Robin's on. She said, hey, guys.
Hey, Rabs. Rabs.
Rabsins.
I would say, let's see when all of this happened. So, John actually did die on December 20th of 1820. Well, so, not very long after all of this started.
Well, that's what, 3 years?
Wow.
Yeah. And then Betsy in 1821 actually broke off her engagement with Joshua.
Oh.
So, these things happened.
I guess Kate had her way, huh?
Is Joshua the... Oh, Joshua was the neighbor. I thought she had married her teacher. Or was that just in the movie?
I think that was just in the movie, to my knowledge.
Okay.
Well, I mean, she very well could have married her teacher after she broke off the...
That's true.
Neighbor.
Yeah.
I mean...
Can you imagine being like the neighbor, like being Kate and just being like, oh, I'm going to go and pick my tomatoes today. And they're like, witch. And she's like, oh, shit. And being blamed for all of this when she probably is just like, I'm just feeding stray cats. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Can you imagine being this lady? That's just like, that's terrible.
All the while, Kate's been innocent this entire time.
I know, she definitely got the short end of the stick with this one.
Yeah.
Suck my corn, leave me alone.
Right. Just churning some butter, don't mind me, dearies.
But people did believe that she was extremely powerful. She was said to be able to be in two places at once, like miles and miles apart.
Where's their proof?
They said that she would recite sermons from churches that were like 13 plus miles away from, like if she was at John's home, she was reciting a sermon that was being told at a different church.
Did someone say, yeah, that's what they said at my church?
They were like basically comparing notes at that point. Like, this is what she was saying, and then it would get to the pastor, whoever preached that sermon, like, oh, I just preached on that. That's kind of weird.
Mm. It wasn't an inside job.
Huh.
I don't know.
She was also able to quote scripture perfectly, sing hymns perfectly, and tell people about their past and future.
Okay, that's kind of
cool. So she was a tarot reader.
Basically.
Yeah. Here you.
She was just a nice lady trying to help people out, and they took it the wrong way.
Yeah.
So, Stephanie, I guess it's a good time. Good thing that you weren't there at that time.
Right. I mean, maybe I was in a past life, and now it's just karmic debt just going down the line. This is possible. But yeah. Yeah, I'm very grateful that we have freedom of religion here. And yeah, that I'm able to practice whatever the hell I want.
Right.
Now, at this day and age.
I guess the end to this story is that Kate told everybody goodbye and she promised to return in 7 years. So in 1828, she came back to visit John Bell Jr., talked about past, present, and future, and according to the stories, it was all correct about the past and the present. Everything was, like, spot on and correct that he was being told by the witch who came back.
You know what's crazy?
What?
And this is just thinking like the Christian religion and whatnot. What if this entire time that they were accusing her of being a witch and all this stuff, she was actually a prophet of the Lord?
Oh, God.
Because that's the exact characteristics of a prophet, is to be able to tell you past, present, and future.
And this poor lady.
And then on top of that, but this is the crazy part that dawned on me. You know, I've almost read the entire Bible from Old Testament to the end of the New Testament. I'm just a few books away from being done with that. And the number 7 is very, very popular in the Bible. So she shows up after 7 years with past, present, and future. They've been sitting here.
I told you, this was just a nice lady
She's a prophet of the Lord, everybody.
Right, right.
She was called, like, every name in the book. But she did say that there was a reason for John's death, but she never actually told him why.
Because she's a prophet of the Lord.
She just said there was a reason for his death, but he never actually got the reason. And then she promised to return 107 years later, but
there it is again.
Many believe that she never left. Because to this day, there are still strange occurrences that happen on and around the Bell family farm. In the cave, the cabin still has stuff that go on. I actually went to the cave.
Kate is risen.
Oh my gosh, what was it?
Robert said you guys sound a little bit faint. I don't know if it's your... do you guys have like a fan going or something, like an oscillating fan? Because I can hear it or something get... like really close to the microphone, you guys get louder, and then it moves away from the microphone, and then you guys are quieter.
Is this better?
Oh yeah, that's better.
Okay.
It was kind of weird. It sounded like an oscillating fan, like blowing your hair in the wind, and then that's when we can hear you. But I don't know. It sounds fine now. Anyway, spooky things are happening, people.
Yeah,
Robert said, what's that?
There's no fan, but there's a ceiling fan.
Oh, no.
Wow. Let's turn that off.
It would be like kind of quiet, and then all of a sudden it would be like,
oh,
and
wow.
Then it would be loud. Then your guys' voices would be loud, and then it would be really quiet. So it just sounded almost like a fan that turns, you know, back and forth or whatever. I don't know. It sounds okay now.
Okay. Kate sounded that way, apparently, so who knows?
Kate has risen.
Robert said, what about the Apocrypha? The Apocrypha?
Apocrypha.
What?
The books that are removed from the Bible?
Yeah, no, I haven't. That's going to be my next step after I finish what's in the Bible. I'm actually going to go back and read the books that are removed from it, because I hear there's a lot of insight in that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. I mean, I'm sure they were removed for a reason.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I don't know. Robert asked, what about that? So I don't know if I don't know if he... Oh, okay. He said, thanks, Steph. Okay. I guess that answered his question.
I'm sure after I read it, I'll be like, what did I just read?
Right.
Now I have so many more questions.
Yeah, I bet. So
that was it for my Excel Witch research. Sorry I didn't let you talk at all.
No, I talked plenty. I interrupt. I throw in my my comic relief, if it's even funny. And, I just do my thing.
Now, do you have anything special for us, Stephanie?
Yeah.
I mean, most of the stuff that I, know about was up in Illinois, like the, Bachelor's Grove Cemetery and things like that. What I was curious about, though, is I heard about a highway here, and I don't know if you know of this highway. I have to, I should have wrote it down. It's a haunted highway in Tennessee, and apparently... You can hear the lady, there's a lady, I guess, that's crying. You can actually see, people have seen her apparitions. I think it might have even been one of the places that Bethany, you and I tried to go and explore, but I don't think it was close enough for us to go that day when we were doing, when we were doing the cemetery, trying to find the cemetery.
How was that trip to the cemetery?
Listen. We have been there, twice now, and we still have not found it.
I found out, I think, where it is, but we would have to climb up a very, very steep hill to possibly get to it.
Good for them legs.
Maybe after tick season is over.
Yes, when it's, cold outside.
Yeah, when it's cold and there's not so many ticks. Leander is saying Cuba Road. Cuba Road? Is that the haunted road, Leander?
Road.
That does not sound right. Cuba Road.
Is he hollering at you or is he typing?
So he's, he's chatting. This is how we communicate even in our own house. Because I never know when he's working or in meetings. And so, I just, I can't. I don't want to yell up at him and be like, what the hell did you say? When he's in a meeting. So that would be bad. But he said Cuba Road, Millington, Tennessee.
Pillow on Woodstock, Cuba Road.
You want to know how we communicate in our house?
Scream.
Perfect.
That's hilarious.
Specifically, Kinsley, she'll just walk in the room now and she'll be like, Babe!
Oh my god.
I'm like, what?
Let's see. I'm trying to find.
He says it's Illinois. Cuba Road in Illinois. It's a mysterious road. It says.
By Tennessee, same thing. Yeah.
Illinois and Tennessee.
Well,
only a difference of 400 and some miles.
Oh, wow.
So it says, hold on. It says several strange occurrences that happened on this road, and I'm really trying to... Dang.
Yeah, so, while you're looking that up, there's actually, which Bethany probably knows a little bit more about it than I do, but there's actually, I guess, the Trahern building in Austin Peay. I guess that's haunted.
What is it? The Rayburn building?
The Trahern. T-R-A-H-E-R-N. It was like the Smith Trahern Mansion, I think, before it was a building or something. Well, they call it the Smith Trahern Mansion, so, I mean, I'm assuming that it used to be a mansion.
Let's see. Trahern Mansion.
Oh, there's, okay, multiple Traherns. Okay, wrong. My bad. Trahern building in Austin Peay is actually, I guess, haunted.
Yes.
So I was right about that, just not the Smith Trahern Mansion. That's a completely different haunting, apparently.
Yeah, it does say Trahern Theater is also said to be haunted by somebody named Margaret, who haunts the third floor stage.
Yep, that sounds about... Okay, looks like you know all this.
Austin Peay State University, it says... Let's see. Banging on the lockers, locked doors banging... Tinkering with different electricity, elevators, locks on doors, calling the names of students.
Yeah, I mean, apparently, like in 2002, the whenever they were doing a production in the theater department, the lights would actually dim for differentiating times, like about three or lengths, and it was about three times at random periods of time, but. So I guess that was one of the big things there, but there was no reason for the electricity to be going out because the weather was clear, there was no issues or anything like that. So that was another one of the issues. But yeah, I saw what you said about Margaret. That's, I guess, she's been supposedly known to mess with, like you said, doors, lockers, elevators and stuff.
So, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. I see that. Also, too, you know, we have a lot of, one reason, too, why Bethany and I, we were going graveyard hopping that day, too, was because there's a lot of old, you know, graveyards around here. And even, you know, right next door, basically, to my house is the Fort Donelson Cemetery.
Yeah, you've got that right next door.
And they were even featured on a couple of paranormal shows, you know, for having residual energy of cannons going off. We can even hear that shit sometimes, like 3 o'clock in the morning. I know that Fort Campbell does their own like training, and then there's like the quarry or whatever that's sort of a little bit of the ways down there. But this is something a little different, like. It doesn't sound the same as that. Like, this literally sounds like the cannons going off. Like, you can hear the billowing smoke after, or whatever, like, when it actually activates the cannon. It's sort of like a muffled sound from the cannon shaft, I guess. Shaft.
I'm sorry, Bethany just came running in here and, like, slammed the door shut, so I'm...
What happened? No, I went outside to check for something in the car. And I hear it sounded like a kid or somebody like screaming, just like first burglar push. So that scared me. But then I was looking in my car and like I just hear like this, like almost like blood curdling, like scream.
Oh, was it? Did it sound like a blood curdling woman screaming?
It almost sounded like a teenage guy, like.
Because when foxes are mating, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like somebody's being murdered in the woods.
That's what that sounded. Oh my.
What does a fox say?
It is what the fox says. They go,
I don't know if that's what the fox said, but I
think I've ever been so terrified. I have done some really creepy things, but I don't think I've ever been terrified as I just was.
Yeah, it scared the bejeebus out of me when I first lived in Indian Mound. Okay, we don't have shit like that in Chicago. When somebody's screaming bloody murder, it's because they're actually getting murdered in Chicago. Here, it's like, that was the first time I ever heard that, and I was just like, what the shit is that? And I'm like, looking out the window, turn all the lights off, and I'm like, looking in the corners of the window like, oh god, somebody's getting killed outside. And, it was scary.
I thought somebody was trying to kidnap her or something when she came in. I was like, do I need to get a knife or something? What?
Oh my god. Yeah. That's terrifying. But I think it's a fox, because I'm pretty sure that when they're doing the deed, that they're screaming bloody murder.
Oh my god!
Could you imagine if humans sounded like that doing the deed? Ah!
Like, hey, do
louder!
Louder! Get a little bit of foreplay in there. Gah!
Give me some phlegm. Ah!
So bad. Oh my god.
Oh man, that would be amazing.
I had to like walk in place for a second. That was terrifying.
Oh, poor Bethany.
I don't think I've ever ran up my stairs so fast in my entire life.
Oh, goodness.
So, Robert said the Plantation Mansion in Hurricane Hills also had a documentary done. It's on Loretta Lynn's ranch. Oh, yeah, Loretta Lynn's ranch. I heard of that being super active.
Yes, and that's super close to here. It's only like an hour and a half away, I think.
Oh, I think we need to do like a double date.
Oh, you know what? On top of that, not only a double date, but like a live something there.
A live something, like
live collaborating something.
Right, like a live field trip video.
Yeah. Hi guys, we're on our field trip to Loretta Lynn.
Hey, we're live. We're streaming. We're Inception streaming, and then I'll stream you while you stream me.
Oh, you promise? We'll be walking around like this.
Right.
All right. If you look behind me,
I'm
you'll
just
see Loretta Lynn.
Yeah. Oh my god. Leander said that there's bodies all over here. And then he said the first time that he heard the foxes mating, that he went around with a light and a sword.
Some kind of weapon out there.
I guess a sword's not really a bad option. I mean, versus like a bat or a knife.
He has it's like a Viking sword. He has a Viking sword.
Can you imagine just walking around?
Listen, he keeps a batleth by next to the bedside. Do you know what a batleth is?
I know.
Nope. I'm gonna Google it though.
Yeah, look it up. It's actually the Klingon weapon in Star Trek.
Let's see. You said Batleth?
Batleth, B-A-T apostrophe L-E-T-H.
Okay, I think I'm good now. I'm like calm. And
yeah, are you good now?
I'm good.
Take a sip of your tea, everybody. Right. Everyone, right now, take a sip of your tea.
I might need extra special stuff in my tea after that little incident.
Where's my tea?
Oh my gosh. That was so... I don't think I've been more terrified.
That was a lot emptier than I thought it was. I was expecting it any time, and I was like, where's it at?
Oh my gosh.
All right, so bat lift.
Yeah, I'll actually put a picture of it in the chat.
Lift.
Whew. Yeah, please tell me I'm not the only one who has ever been that.
Oh, that's a bailiff.
Ever.
Dang, spell correct or autocorrect.
You don't even know.
Oh.
Let me see.
Oh.
That looks cool. I want one. Can I have one?
Here, I'm actually going to post it on the chat here so that everybody can see. This is what the batleth looks like. Oh, and a moth just came in here out of nowhere. Well, that's interesting.
Maybe it's a spirit.
It is. That I am the biggest person to be like, oh gosh, it's a sign. Just like Bethany is like, oh god, that was something haunted. That's me.
Like, that's a sign and not that's a demon.
Right.
Or...
Well, see, what happens to me is, like, my office, I got a building in the backyard that I have as an office. And, you know, what they say is, you know, whenever, like, a bird, I guess, hits a window and dies or whatever, that means somebody in your going to die or something, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's an omen. It's an omen.
Okay. With that being said, do you know how many times on a weekly basis a bird hits my dang window and dies? Like, I should have a bunch of dead people around me.
You but, probably do, actually. We live in Dover.
I mean, that,
I know.
Okay, well.
I mean, that's... Does it have to be, like, somebody related to you or just somebody that you know?
I think it's just that you hear of a death.
That's weird. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, I mean, of course, that is something of just, you know, belief, or some people are superstitious about it or whatever. I mean, even at Valhalla's Gate, we have birds that crash into the same effing window every week. They just break their necks right on impact. Same window, and they hit that window so hard, and it's like, what the hell? I don't know.
Yeah, it's usually the same spot on my window too, because it's on my office door. The window, it's just a really big window, and like, it doesn't have like any of the lights or whatever
you
want to call it. It's just a big old clear window, nothing in it, just solid sheet of glass, and it hits right in the middle every time. I'll clean it usually about once a week, and I'm always getting new feathers off of it.
Maybe you should stop cleaning it. Maybe they'll stop hitting it.
It's like those 409 commercials from, like, back in the
90s. Yes, yeah. Stop cleaning it so good.
Giddy up, 409.
You're going to need a poster or something.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I'm going to do something about it. Because it gets annoying. It scares the piss out of me every time, too. You know, I'll be doing my thing, you know, working on my payroll or something. And then, whop!
Oh, yeah, no, I couldn't work in those kinds of...
I didn't knock any of your Funkos over there.
No, don't. No, Johnny Cash has already been knocked over.
Oh, God.
It's already been knocked over.
Yeah, if for those of you in chat, you may have noticed we've got some Funko Pops.
I was going to say, are those the Hocus Pocus Funkos?
Yes, they are.
I want them.
Well, we should turn this into a show and tell. You want to show off some of your Funkos?
No.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I was looking up... A couple of different things. Have you guys been to the Surrender House?
Yes.
That place gives me the weirdest vibes.
You know, even as a skeptic,
I don't like it.
I've got to say it's giving me some weird vibes too.
Well, because there's
I just walk in there and it's not an easy feeling, really.
There's the section to the right that's all. Every time I've been, it's closed. It's locked up and it's got like the old, it looks like a bar or something.
Right.
I look through the windows and I can't look in more than like 5-10 seconds and I'm like, okay, that's creepy. I don't want to look in there anymore.
Mm.
Like, I don't know. It's weird.
Are you talking about that parlor area that's always locked off?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's always locked off there. And like, I don't know. Like, I wish that I knew somebody there because I would love to see the bedrooms upstairs. Like, where they stayed and stuff. Like, I'm just so curious about it. And I kind of want to, like, spend the night there and, like, talk to some dead people or something.
I want to know why they won't let people in there.
Right.
That's too far.
Like, why? I mean, it looks really sad.
I mean, I'm all about hanging out there late at night, but I don't know if I want to go sleep there. Just say it.
I want to go sleep at the, it's in California. It's, like, 600 rooms. Oh my gosh, what's it called? Oh my gosh.
Is it the place that's got like all the trap doors and fake doors?
Yeah, it's like doors that go to nowhere.
Oh, Yes, the guy who created all the doors that go to nowhere for his wife who died.
Oh, sorry.
You got rid of our screen.
I did. Well, now I have to know the name of this place or it's going to bother me forever.
Your phone's right here. Use your own phone.
California.
Messed up our background. Now we got to play Roku. So, yeah, now if you want to hear some crazy stories, we got to get Justin, which is Bethany's brother. Man, we went up to Lafayette this past weekend. And man, they did an investigation a week ago or something?
The Winchester House.
Yes, the Winchester House.
I called it.
Yes.
I said the Winchester.
Yes, that's
Winchesterton
right.
Fieldville.
Winchesterton Fieldville?
Yeah.
Polis.
You know, from oh my God, Mr. Deeds, when she makes up the name of the town that she's from, and she's like Winchesterton Fieldville.
I need more tea.
So great.
Hey, check it
stress.
Out.
Hey, Hal, what's up? What?
Yeah, I'm magic. Take that. But yeah, no, her brother had a paranormal investigation about a week ago or so, and. Man, he had some unsettling stuff for me to even hear, which her brother's a skeptic too.
Mm-hmm. He's probably the biggest skeptic in the group. Just because
aside from me.
Just because he always wants to find like a plausible explanation for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think so.
I like to, anytime that something strange goes on, something strange happens for me, I'll always try to make sure that like there's no other possibility first. Mm-hmm. So like, and I'm a believer, but I am a believer in a way where it's like, I want to make sure that I'm actually seeing something for real. You know, I don't want to just make it up in my head. I want to know that it's real because I don't want to, you know, disappoint myself or like, what do you call it? Cut myself short. I want the real deal, you know, if it's not real and I can prove myself wrong, then I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. But if I cannot prove it, yeah, I'm just like, then I'm just like, woo-woo, you know, cloud nine.
So with you being a believer, I guess you're probably going to have to be our next guest on that one show at the Newmans whenever we do our Do You Believe in Ghosts?
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. I would love to do that. I'll always join anything that is, you know, anything to do with paranormal and strange, of course.
All right. Well, we might have to set something up here very soon because we try to do that on the Saturdays. The last three Saturdays, we haven't been able to because something's gone. Like this past Saturday, we went up to Indiana. The Saturday before that, she was recovering from her wisdom teeth surgery. The Saturday before that, she was still recovering from her wisdom teeth. So I literally.
Well, I told her about my cookie eating incident that I'd never been so excited to eat a cookie in my entire
I know,
life.
Right? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I remember feeling like that too, like when I had my wisdom teeth out. It was just like, I just could not wait to actually eat any kind of food that I was able to chew and taste because I was so sick of eating liquid food.
Yeah. No, that got old really quick.
I quite enjoyed it because. With no offense, I'm sorry for your loss of eating all that food. But you know, while she was doing that, I was able to eat whatever I wanted. So it was like frozen pizza every single night. I'm like, yes!
Oh my gosh!
And then I got this.
Okay, whatever.
I know, right?
But, jeez.
But yeah. No, we try to do every Saturday night though with that, and with the podcast. You don't do podcasts, do you?
No, I just do the live streams.
Okay. Well, you should like record your live streams and then convert them into podcasts. That way you have more platforms.
I mean, it is possible. I could do that. Right now, I have like four different platforms.
Oh, okay. Well, you might be too crazy busy.
There's a lot going on. Really awesome stuff going on, though.
While she had the wisdom teeth stuff going on, it went a while, and I was like, okay, well, with podcasts, with how often we've been pushing them out, we were considered a weekly podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, shoot, yeah, let's do that. Then she had this wisdom teeth removal surgery, and I pushed something so far off topic from paranormal. I think it was like how to get a good job without a degree.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just pushed out a random podcast just so I could keep that weekly status, you know? So
yeah.
I was like, oh, she's not here, but guess what? Here's the podcast anyways.
See, and I think, you know, we'll have to definitely do like if your brother was, you know, interested too to come on as a guest, that would be awesome. So, you know, I'd be happy to have you guys back on, you know, anytime too. And yeah, you'll have to let me know whenever you do your podcast and we can do another Zoom conference, or I can come there or whatever. It's not like you're far away.
Yeah.
What are you doing Saturday?
This coming Saturday? What Saturday's date?
Well, I couldn't tell you that much. It's like the 29th.
I don't think I'm doing anything in the afternoon, evening-ish.
Well, like, you might be joining us for a podcast that day.
I mean, let's do it.
Well, that is, of course, if, you know, my wife doesn't have any other prior obligations.
I don't think so. Sorry, I'm trying to keep it on the camera back.
Oh, she's behind the camera, by the way, which is why I looked at the camera whenever I said something about Hawaii. She's sitting there staring at the flashing battery light. It's going to continue to flash, dear. Come sit over here.
Well, I just want to make sure that we're good to go.
It'll die eventually.
So, Hal, if you're still on, actually, one of the places that I was just looking at this is one of the eight most haunted places in Tennessee is the Orpheum Theater in Memphis, Tennessee. Might have to make a trip out to Memphis again so that I can go to this theater.
Yeah.
Because I'd love to get, like, some pictures and see if,
oh, yeah,
if I catch
that.
Anything. Want a carpool? Bethany, you could come to Memphis with me.
Yeah, no, we can go to IKEA.
Well, no. No.
Maybe IKEA's haunted. You don't know.
IKEA's not haunted. The only thing that's haunting about IKEA is the regretful memory of spending all the money. I don't want to do that.
Maybe it's the IKEA demons causing people to buy all that stuff. You never know. I just put the theories in that.
No, it's the wife demons that are spending all the money.
Oh my gosh. So we could also go to Tennessee State Prison.
That sounds fun.
In Nashville. So this in Nashville is, it's a historic state prison because of its declined state and abandonment. It's not open for tours anymore, but it looks like you can, what does this say? You could break in and illegally, you could break in illegally.
It says it's not open to tours anymore.
Little B&E.
Well, you think I pass by that all the time. They're demoing it right now.
Are they demoing it?
If it's the one that I
cause it's like when a bunch of like separately barrack looking buildings.
Yeah. It's really creepy as hell.
Like a red brick type?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. There it goes. There goes our video.
Can you still hear it, though?
Yeah, I can still hear you guys.
Okay.
Leander said, but it's Swedish. What does being Swedish have anything to do with anything?
Right. Yeah.
No idea. Oh, goodness gracious. Trying to learn how to work that camera?
I just got used tripods. I don't know if I'm the... I think I'm the only person who does photography that does not use tripods.
How do you not have a tripod?
we do have a tripod. Oh. I just don't use it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when I take, like, nature... Like, when I do my nature photography, I never use a tripod. I don't know why. It's just I hate tripods.
Mm. And then, of course, we should also take a field trip to the Bell Witch Cave. We have to, since we talked about it today.
Absolutely.
Oh, Leander said he was talking about IKEA being Swedish.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. But it's Swedish.
But it's Swedish. No.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to look at those cards real quick. Hang on.
You wanted to look at what?
The cards that Stephanie posted on Rune and the Moon's page earlier.
Yeah, so before the end of tea time here, I'm going to flip the cards so that you all can see what it is. And then I'll tell you what the meanings are for the cards that you've chosen. And then I'll also put those results into the post so that you all can see it for yourselves as well.
Okay.
Oh my God. I hear yelling. And it's not a fox this time. It's Leander.
It's Leander yelling. It's Swedish.
He probably actually did yell that. Who is the witch that if you say the name three times in the mirror, Mary Worth?
Bloody Mary?
Yeah, you could say Bloody Mary. I believe in Bloody Mary. Or you could say I believe in Mary Worth three times. But you're supposed to be in the dark looking in the mirror with a candle lit. And something's supposed to happen to you.
Absolutely not.
I'm going to do that.
Bethany's like, nope.
There are certain...
Let me go grab the ketchup so I can scream and she runs in there. Oh, my God! On hers.
Okay.
I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like,
Bethany's all spooked out now because of this video call.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's funny too because Leander, he is also very skeptical and he'll say, you know, he has to think of a logical reason for these things before anything. And you know, sometimes of course, you know, with me being a solitary practitioner of the craft, I have an altar set up and sometimes he'll say, what did you do back there? Because some weird shit will start happening in the house. And I'm like, I didn't do anything. But not that I would tell him anyway. A witch stays silent. Anyway, so... but no, when the dogs start acting weird, that's when those who are skeptical start to be like, maybe there's something else to this. Yeah. Because when the dogs start acting weird, that's when it's like, okay, shit. But even now, like, when the power went out the other day, he's like, you know, putting up candles or whatever to the house. He says, I don't know, our bedroom, I think you need to sage our bedroom. And I was like, why? He's like, I don't know, it's giving me the heebie-jeebs. It's like, I feel like something weird is in there. So I just think it's funny that coming from skeptical people, but then when shit's about to go down, then you want to call the fuckers that have the sage and come sage your house.
That's the only time we matter is when they're like, oh, this is real bad.
Right. I need to call some help. Somebody who knows how, you know, about this. But I don't know. I don't know if I'd believe in it or not. Like, you believe in it enough to be calling me to sage your house.
Right?
It's a bull crap. But sage anyways, please. Yeah.
This is all just in your head. Can you please place the amethyst around the house? Just to keep it safe. Yeah.
Can you please Reiki great. My aura and right. light your salt rocks and sage the house? Please right. and thank you.
And right. hand me my protection stone.
But you're full of shit. But that's okay.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Salt my grounds. Oh, it's so funny. Yeah.
Honey, where's the salt?
Oh, that happens a lot.
About your sodium intake. I need it for the doors.
That actually does happen a lot here in our house. Like, he'll go to the cabinet and he'll be like, where'd all the cinnamon go? Or he'll be like, do you have the bay leaves or the cloves in your cabinet back there? I'm just like, probably do.
Oh, no.
Especially around holidays, he'll be like, all the time is gone. I'm sorry.
Whoops. My bad.
Right. We've got no time.
This concludes part one of our special episode with Witch's Tea Time. Make sure to catch part two of this special spooky episode.